Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
You know, God has a way of making life, when you think it's all planned, unexpectedly, where you become very unexpectedly dependent upon Him. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about true source and a declaration of dependence. And it's amazing how God actually wants you to live out the words that you preach. Imagine that. And so this kind of happened to me. I had a nice, neat day planned yesterday. I'd been planning the whole weekend. Had my perfect Saturday, and I was going to lead up to the Sunday. So I had some things all going the way I needed them to go. But then nothing happened the way I thought. Glenn was out of town, so there was kind of a mental list that I wanted to take care of. So when she got in town, it didn't look crazy that she was out of town, that I could take care of the kids, I could take care of our home. No sweat at all. I got this, girl. I got this. Don't even worry about it. Then I had everything planned, studying for this weekend, taking care of the thing, wanted to watch the game. Bella had a game. Dylan had conditioning, all these different things. Had everything planned. Well, some things happened where it didn't turn out the way I thought they were going to turn out to. And God just kind of surprised me with some unexpected things. And so I got up a little late, which is I don't like, but I just kind of slept in a touch late. I mean, sometimes just 30 minutes later could just create just a sense of, okay, got to catch up. So I got up a little late, ran down to practice, a little late there, was running some different places. I was like, okay, I got to get back on schedule because Bella's got a game. I want to watch the game. I got to get to a couple weddings. I got all these things going on. I need to make sure I study. And I'm thinking Deuteronomy chapter 2 was what I felt like the Lord wanted to speak on. And so after I dropped down off, I was running and I parked. I couldn't get by Starbucks there, Perkins Row. And so I parked way out in the parking lot because I couldn't get in close. A lot of people around at about that time because I was a little bit later than normal. And so I parked further out. So when I parked, I said, well, I got to catch up. Maybe if I jog into Starbucks, I'll catch about a 10-second window here. Because how many knows when you're on a schedule, every second matters. And so I just jogged in. So I took off jogging through the Barnes & Noble's parking lot, just kind of running because I'm pretty quick on my feet and have some track ability. And as I was jogging in, I got close to the thing. And I was picking up speed because there were some people out there, and I just wanted to, just kind of let them know I've kind of got it going on. And as I picked up speed about 20 feet from the door, I caught a curb. But the problem was, is there was another curb 3 feet away. And so as I caught the first curb, it picked up my momentum. And when you get this physique moving in a certain direction, it increases velocity. I don't know if you know that or not. Speed is good, but speed and weight equals a blooper. And so as I picked up speed, I hit the next curve and I went down. I didn't go down pretty. You know how some people fall? It's just like, oh, okay. I didn't go down like that. I went down and I rolled. So there was a rolling effect. So I'm getting closer to the front door. I rolled and then I lost keys, wallet, and phone. And then I came out of it kind of like this. And it did one of these. Oh my Lord. I mean, it hurt. There is a big difference at tripping. I got speech issues. I ain't scared. At 26 and at 46. And I hurt myself. I mean, I yanked my ankle. I thought I broke my ankle. So when I stood up gradually, my heart was beating. I had like an adrenaline rush. I hadn't had one of those in a decade. And so I had an adrenaline rush, knees bleeding. I got a big old scratch strawberry right here, wounded hip, bruised my hand. I'm shaking because I thought I really hurt myself. And there's like 15 people right there. I'm about 8 feet from the front door. And several ladies were like, oh my gosh, are you okay? I think it was more traumatic for them to watch that than it was for my fall. I think they just never seen anything like that. It was, whoa, that's a lot happening at that moment. So that didn't help matters. just the whole fall. And the funniest thing, I get a text about 5 minutes later from a girl on our staff that said, "Hey, Pastor, did you fall at Starbucks? Because a couple of my friends saw you fall and they thought you hurt yourself." I said, "Yeah, I did. It was not pretty." So I've got a little bit of a little something in my step today. But so that happened. Then the LSU game, I mean, that was like heart failure. I mean, that was crazy. But I'm still holding on to Deuteronomy chapter 2. So the day has gone. I didn't make it to the weddings. It was just a crazy day. Bella's game went 2 hours long, and so it was just crazy. Never made it to the weddings. Just, I wasn't doing the wedding. I just wanted to tell you that, which I have done that before. Don't let me go there. I've actually not made it to a wedding I was supposed to before. And they actually are still in the church, which is a miracle. And so I knew I had Deuteronomy chapter 8. But then when I got up this morning, I felt the Lord just speak to my heart and said, Deuteronomy chapter 2 was for you. And that's not for you to share. And I felt like God gave me a fresh word for us this morning. And this is kind of a free weekend. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. Because I think this is one incredible, instructive, close encounter with Jesus. And I really prayed this morning that this would be a now word. We say, now, what do you mean by a now word? It means a word for right now in your life. I just felt like the Holy Spirit has tried to capture my heart or apprehend my heart that I would speak something just right out of Scripture that's right now for this moment. Unlike normally when a series and you work through things through the week and God has a sense of humor. So I'm very dependent upon Him as I share for a few minutes. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And as we talk about these things, because let me just say this. How you respond to a fresh word like that is you want to be open. So you want to be open to what God wants to say to us out of His word for the next few moments. What that means is as I speak, you want the Lord to speak to you. Because my words are just, they're not much at all. But one word from the Lord can change everything. And so as I speak, try to stay open. Don't wonder. Try to stay focused in on this word. And you never know what the Lord may speak to your heart. He may speak to your family. He may speak to your situation that you're facing right now. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and they were used to that. And he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Everybody say other side. "Of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, the Bible said, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. I like that scripture. Because I think it gives you the permission of the nap. I think it just says that nap happens. Nothing like falling asleep. I fall asleep quicker now than I've ever fallen asleep. I fall asleep quicker. I can fall asleep in odd places. I can fall asleep when someone's talking to me. If you put me in a car and I'm not driving, I'm sleeping these days. I don't know what it is. You put me in a car, I will sleep. I get on a plane, I will sleep. I just fall asleep so much quicker and easier. Just falling asleep. Jesus falls asleep. There's nothing like watching someone fall asleep. I don't know if you remember watching your babies fall asleep. That is a great feeling. They're asleep. You ever watch your spouse fall asleep? I get to watch people fall asleep every weekend. For reals. I get to watch people in the church fall asleep. It is the and I get to watch it gradually. Because some of you are tired, you're working hard. I'm not, you know, hating on anybody. I'm just saying I see people fall asleep in church. And what I love watching is when people are fighting it, because they're like, "Pastor, I'm trying not to fall asleep on you." And they're propping themselves up. They're doing all kinds of things. But when somebody finally goes out and they are sawing logs, it is odd speaking to people. And you notice the ones that are falling asleep on you. It is the oddest thing preaching. And someone is sound asleep in church. Sound asleep. And there's been times I have increased my volume to try to wake them up. Just, you know, if you have a service 3 or 4 times at that third service, your mind's wandering as you're talking. And so you'll see somebody sleeping. You just be like, and you know, the Lord said, and you want to see if you can wake that person up and to try to see if... I always want to stop and say, I got you, my brother. I got you. Don't sleep in church. But I understand. I've slept in church. It gets hard. Fall asleep. Jesus fell asleep and a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with the boat was filling with water. The Bible says they were in jeopardy or in danger. And they came to him and awoke him and saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. We are drowning. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they, almost like the wind and the water is a personality. It's something. They ceased. And there was a calm. I love that. Underline that in my Bible this morning. There was a calm. Because there's nothing in life like a calm from God. Can I have a better amen? There is nothing in life better than when you get the peace of God in your life, in, through, around a situation. But he said to them, where is your faith? So after he spoke to the storm, he looked at these wet, panicked, fear-filled disciples. And he said, where is your faith? Where is it? As if they had misplaced it, left it, or lost it. Where is your faith? They were afraid and marveled. And then they said this to one another, who can this be that he even commands the wind and the water? And they obeyed him. And then they sailed to another country of the Gadarenes, which was opposite of Galilee. And then they stepped out of the land and they met a certain man from that city. The Bible says that he was filled with demons. He had lived in the tombs. He had been out of his mind. He did not live in a house. He lived in the tomb. And the Bible says in verse 28, these few words, when he saw Jesus. And if you kept reading this, the whole story changes for this man who was on the shore of this other side of the storm. There's this man on the shore that meets them full of the devil, full of wickedness and pain and rejection and hurt. And Jesus has an encounter with him. He is set free. He turns into one of the first missionaries of the gospel because he wants to go with Jesus as a disciple. And Jesus tells this man, he says, no, you're not going to go with me. I want you to go home. I want you to go to your city, your region, and tell every single person what the Lord has done for you. And he goes out, and one of the gospel says that he goes into a 10-city region, and he begins to tell his story of grace and mercy. And lives are changed. I love this story. I love reading it. I've preached it before, and I think it's a good reminder for all of us about our Savior and about faith and about trust. And normally when I talk about this, there are two thoughts that I take out of it. But I felt like the Lord wanted to refresh us all about two thoughts. But then I really felt like the Lord gave me a couple of new thoughts. And here's the first two that are refreshers for us as we read this scripture and take it to be a part of our life where we can live out our life this week and in our this month and in our family with the thought that scripture works, that the word of God is faithful. Why? Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so we hear the word of God. Our faith is increased so that we can walk through life the way God intended us to walk through life. Here's the first two as a refresher. We've talked about these before. The first one is this. There's always another side to every storm in your life. No matter what you're going through, there's another side to the storm. Now the enemy wants you to see life from a one-sided storm. The disciples saw life from one side. The wind, the wave, the pain, the abandonment, the rejection, all that they were feeling on that side of the storm. They only saw life from that side. And here's the thing though, but there's another side to every storm. Usually the other side of every storm involves others. You don't go through things for no reason. You don't go through things for no profit. In Christ, in God, you go through them and there is purpose on the other side. But the enemy doesn't want you to think about the purpose. The enemy wants you to think about the pain. The pain, the pain, the pain, the pain. To get lost in the pain and never discover the purpose on the other side of your storm. Can I have a good amen? You know this is true. We know this, but sometimes we forget about it. It's just a reminder. See, a key to a fruitful life in God is sharing your storm stories with other people. Because there are people that are still trapped in fear. There are people that are still trapped in things going on in life. But when you go through a storm and you get on the other side of a storm, guess what? You're able to share your storm story. What was Lance doing up here during our prayer time? He shared a storm story. He shared a time that he was lost in alcoholism, but now he's free. And he shared how God got him through that. And how now he puts his hope not in a bottle or not in a can, but he puts his hope in God Almighty. What is that? He's sharing his storm stories. I got through the storm. I'm no longer defined by the storm. I'm preaching better than you're giving me amens this morning. Because somebody give me a good amen. I mean, you think about it. That's what he's doing. He's sharing a storm story. Everybody's got a storm story. Whether it was a flood or a tornado or a hurricane or something. What do you tell? Well, I went through a storm. We made it. You have a storm story that someone in the workplace, in your family, on your campus is waiting to hear. You've got a storm story. Here's the second thing I think is so important as a reminder and a refresher. When you're in Christ and you put your faith in Christ, can I tell you this? When you put your faith in Christ, you got to know something, that you're not going to die in the middle of it all. Have faith in Christ, because he will not let you die in the middle of your storm. They thought they were dying in the middle of their storm. Guess who told them to get in the boat? Jesus. And guess what Jesus said? We're going to the other side. So when they woke up Jesus and they said, we're dying in the middle of the lake. He said, no, we're not. I said other side and I mean other side. Other side is not the middle. So if God gives you a promise and God speaks a word of life over you and God gives you a word of healing and a word of restoration, don't believe the report of the devil midway through. Keep believing God for your life. Keep holding on to the promises of God. Don't be defined by that. When he said other side, he meant it. And because here's the problem. With Jesus, he's going to bring you over. He's not going to let you go under. He's going to bring, put your faith in him. He's going to bring you over. He's not going to let you go under. I wrote this down. Don't doubt in the dark what God has given you in the light. Don't doubt in the dark what God has given you in the light. What was it? You know what the attack was? It wasn't about wind and waves. It was about fear and doubt and unbelief. That's what the real attack was. It was about fear, doubt, and unbelief. Because he had just been teaching on the parable of the sower. And what did he say in the parable of the sower? When the seed is planted, don't let the enemy steal the seed. Don't let doubt and the cares of the world steal Jesus, steal the promise out of your life. Let it grow up and produce the fruit. And there they were in the boat with this test of faith, and the enemy was trying to steal the seed of faith and the seed of trust. Don't doubt in the dark what God has given you in the light. Here's the second. These are two fresh ones. Here's the third one, which is the first of the second one. I about confused myself. Here's the third point, which is a new one. The storms didn't bother the Lord. It was his own disciples' lack of faith and trust that bothered him. Jesus didn't wake up and go back to sleep. He didn't wake up and throw up all over the boat. He didn't wake up like that. He did not wake up seasick. He did not wake up mad at the storm. He just said to the storm, shh. If you study in the Greek, you know what it means? It actually means this whole story. In the Greek, it actually means that the wind and the wave were acting like children. And they were just acting up. And Jesus, just like a parent walks in the room, hey. Simmer down. Settle down. Have your children ever horseplayed? Have they ever horseplayed on the inside? Act all crazy. Hey. You ever babysitted? And when you were babysitting, the kids, you walked in. Hey, calm down. Calm down. Use the inside voice. That's actually in the Greek. It means that it's describing that scenario that Jesus woke up and the wind and the wave was just being rambunctious, and that the enemy had just kind of stirred up the wind and the wave, and it was trying to sink the boat. And Jesus stood up and said, shh. What did it say? And they ceased. You ever walked in the room, your kids acted crazy, and you walked in, you gave them those eyes? How many had a parent that could look at you and you felt the sting? I know, I've got to look. I can look at my boy. I talk with my teeth. Delin has a mad smile. It's called the mad smile. Doesn't Dylan call you the mad smile? It's the mad smile. Every parent knows how to get the attention of that child. Just looks at him. My dad used to do this right here. Hold his belt. Look at me. Or he'd walk through the house, and if I was really crazy, he'd take his belt off and just pop it. Pow! That's all he had to do. All he had to do. Jesus stood up and said, shh. And the wave, and the winds, whoo! Went and sat in the corner. And it was like glass. And he looked at his disciples. What did you do with your faith? You had it an hour ago. We just left. I mean, it's 27 miles across the galley. You had it 10 miles ago. Come on, somebody. You had it 10 minutes ago. You had it on Sunday. You had it last Tuesday. You had it 6 months ago. Where did you put it? Where did it go? You had it. Where did it go? Fear attacks in an instant, and then desires to become more increasing as the clock ticks. The goal is that you do not let a tough situation of fear now describe your life situation. Your tough situation is not your life situation. So what do you mean by that? The situation you're in is a situation, but it doesn't have to define what your life is. It is a situation. Let it be a situation. Let it be a storm. Let it be a circumstance. Let it be a problem, but don't let it be your life. Don't let it be your marriage. Don't let it be your parenting. Don't let it be who you are. See, fear wants to define our life. Only way to combat that is to be with Jesus. You got to feed your faith. You got to starve your fear. You got to feed your faith. You got to starve your fear. And you do that by being with him. I think this is a now word for us. We're starting a fast. I've been talking a little bit about this tomorrow. Starting a 40-day fast, calling our church to prayer and fasting. I just believe in the world that we live in today, we need to spend time with God. I just think there's storms and there's waves and there's things all on the horizon. And if you're not spending time with God, and if you don't have a clear, open time with the Lord and be more intimate with Jesus, I just really believe that fear can grip your life. And you can let situations start defining you. And the problems and the pain and the struggle and the rejection, it can start defining you. And the other thing too is it's 40 days to our miracle offering. And it's hard to go into a miracle offering without praying and without planning and without preparing. You got to start planning and preparing now. Because I believe it is a time for miracles. We're believing God for miracles in lives and in homes. And so I'm calling it my hope fast. Just a 40-day Daniel fast. Just believing God for hope in my life. Trusting in the hope of the Lord. That God is my hope. He's my present help. He is there for our family. He is there for our church. And I just want to encourage you to join me. If you say, I don't know anything about a fast. We've got a whole outline, a whole curriculum on our website that you can go and search a Daniel fast. You may want to fast a day. You may want to fast a meal. You may want to fast two. I don't know. But you may say, you know what? I do not want fear to define my life. But I want to feed my faith. I believe there's no greater way to feed your faith than spending time with God. I think fasting and praying and spending time in the Word is just the way you feed your faith and you starve your fear. Starve your fear. Starve it. Because if you don't, it will take over your life. It'll take over everything. It's like a cancer to vision and purpose and dream. Amen? And then the last thing, I'll finish up with this last thought. And here's my prayer for you. And I believe the good news, the great news of God, is that just as Jesus calmed the waves and the wind in this story, he can calm whatever storm you may be facing right now. He can calm whatever storm you may be facing right now. Why? Because he is your salvation. He is your hope. He is your peace.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.